G'day everyone, welcome back to Politics vs. Policy. Today's a very special episode for me because I get to have a discussion with an old high school alumni. So I wanted to invite everyone to meet Amelia Vullerman. So say hello, Amelia.
Hello, everyone.
Thank you so much for coming on the show this week. So today I basically wanted to have a discussion about healthcare on the front lines of COVID-19. Mm-hmm. And basically, after high school, you know, we went on our separate paths of, you know, theatre and political science for me, and then into the healthcare mm-hmm. sector for you and nursing. So I just wanted to ask you to talk a little bit about yourself and who you yep. are, what you do, and where you came from.
Awesome. So I went to school with Jared. How lucky was I? After school, I had a year off, and then I went to uni after that at ACU in Melbourne, studying nursing, 3-year course. And now I'm working at a metropolitan hospital in Melbourne. I've worked in oncology, haematology and palliative care, the GEM unit. At the start of this year, I worked in the emergency department, and now I'm currently on a renal, neurology and stroke ward.
Well, that sounds like a lot of stuff, actually. That sounds like a lot of experience in a short time.
But yeah, so I've only still a little baby in the nursing world. So I've only been nursing for 2 years. So yeah, still got lots to learn.
Well, I thought it'd be fantastic to kind of have a discussion around that as well, because us as young people and going into the labour force and starting our careers during this time might seem quite bleak, but in your case, it's something that you didn't really expect. So what I just want to go back a little bit and ask, like, what made you kind of go into nursing in the first place? Was there any, like, particular point, like maternal instinct that some say?
I feel like my auntie was a nurse, and I feel like it was always something that I was interested in pursuing. I mean, apart from when you're a little kid and you want to be a mermaid or a hairdresser. But I think it was actually in year 11, we're out for dinner with some of my school friends, and a poor old man had some issues, and I did CPR on him. And after that, I was like, whoa, this is so cool. Like, I can actually put, like, your knowledge and your skills into practice and, like, ultimately help another individual's health outcomes. And I was like, yep, I think that's something that I want to follow. And yeah, since then I was like, nursing, I want to do nursing.
I actually do remember that, I believe.
I remember that from
high school. I remember coming to school and hearing about that, because you worked as a lifeguard before that, didn't you?
Oh my gosh, good memory. Yeah, I did. Because yeah, thank God, I literally did, like, the weekend before, I did like some, just did the course with Surf Life Saving, and then that happened and I was like, whoa, that was lucky, because otherwise I would have had no idea what to do.
Well, thank God that you were around for that. And I just totally remembered, I was reading before, because of everything that's been going on and trying to track, you know, how the world is kind of reacting to COVID-19, following the World Health Organization, I didn't know that this year was actually the year of the nurse and the midwife.
Yeah, of course. Classic.
So you guys have fallen into, like, it's fallen into eye view right now. So I just wanted to say, well, thanks so much for your work on the front lines as well, and you know, being there for everyone in the healthcare industry.
Thank you. So, but, what an appropriate year for it to be.
It definitely has highlighted, like, how big of an impact that the healthcare industry kind of has on our lives. This year has really kind of shown to people how much we need you and what impact that you yeah. guys have on our daily lives. So I just wanted to kind of ask you, coming into the workforce and having an idea yeah. of what you wanted to be from year 11 and then going through study, what has been the most substantial change to the working environment that you were placed in originally?
Yeah, absolutely. So obviously, like, the core purpose of what we're doing at work hasn't changed, but I guess it's just more so been the way that we go about certain things. And so obviously hand hygiene's always been crucial in health to stop, you know, transmission of diseases or viruses or bacteria, what have you, in between patient to patient. But I think with COVID, obviously the biggest changes has probably been the PPE, so the personal protective equipment, which is a godsend, because obviously without that we would be in a lot of strife. But it in itself has lots of issues, because it creates lots of communication barriers, and also they're so sweaty underneath those gowns, and literally you're just sweating like a pig the whole time. Also, like, luxuries like having a drink bottle nearby or quickly sneaking to the toilet, like that's just a distant memory. But yeah, like I said before, I think the biggest change is just the way we go about our interventions for our patients. So like, for example, if a patient comes in and they're febrile, it could just be from an infection in the foot, or it could be a common side effect from a certain type of chemotherapy that a person's having, or even if someone's short of breath, or which could just be from like an exacerbation of their asthma. Until proven negative, we just have to treat anyone with these symptoms as COVID until we do the swabs and et cetera. But, and then like you said, waiting, I mean, have you had a swab before?
I have actually not got a swab, but I've watched my roommate get a swab, and it's probably one of the funniest things that I've seen in my life.
Oh my God.
But please, guys, get tested, so get swabbed.
Please. Yeah, look, it's an experience. But yeah, and then we have to, so we have these patients who may or may not have COVID. We're waiting, their swabs are pending, and the poor pathology staff are just inundated by hundreds of swabs. So there's the waiting time for these people that probably don't need to be in COVID precautions, but you never know if they're going to surprise us. But then I think actually the biggest thing, so first instinct, you're looking after a patient and they're deteriorating, and the first thing you want to do is you want to run in there, whack on some oxygen, jump on their chest and start doing compressions. But with all of this, it's kind of like changed the way that we think about things, because we have to stop, and instead of running in there straight away, we have to take like the 1 or 2 minutes to put on the PPE properly, make sure everything's tight and like no air can get through before we go and see the patient. And it's just, it's so weird, because for the first time, instead of just running in there, we have to be like, nope, stop, breathe, I need to protect myself first and then go in. And I think just, yeah, little things like that just change things a lot. It's definitely changed the way, because you just want to go in there straight away, and like time is muscle, as they say, but at the end of the day, we have to protect ourselves.
I'll go back to the statement about the PPE. At the start, how much of a struggle was it to have all that on you? And like over time, you know, recently Victoria has mandated that mask wearing is essential, and certain individuals have had problems with that. Put aside, you know, the medical, that, you know, people might not be able to actually wear masks, but some people have said that they can't breathe and that they, you know, struggle breathing when it's perfectly fine. But in your case as a health worker, you have to put on, you know, a mask and then like something on top of that. Is what does that kind of mean to you? Do you kind of find that infuriating, or like how much PPE do you have to wear?
So at the start of all of this, things were changing, policies, protocols changing all the time. And it was just sort of constantly playing catch up with DHHS infection control as to what the import, like what the exact PPE was that we had to wear. So you'd start your shift, you'd wear, they'll tell you what we need. One day it was like just a mask, and then you'd come, like the afternoon staff would come on and they'd change the rules again, and you had to wear like a face shield and a gown, and you're like, great. So for the last 8 hours, I've just been in the wrong thing. But that's all changed now, and everyone's just in either level 3 or level 4 PPE, which means full length gown, gloves, mask, goggles, face shield. And yeah, and it's so you can't help but be frustrated when you see people complaining on the street how they have to wear their mask for 30 minutes at the supermarket. But at the end of the day, I don't know, you can't really get too mad at them, because that's their reality. And yes, wearing a mask, it is yeah, I don't know, it's just part of the job now, and we all kind of get used to it. But still, you still can't help but be like, oh, you have no idea.
Come on, walk and buy shoes for a couple of minutes. So it leads me into my next question about you as health professionals. When you were studying and you're looking to become a health worker, a nurse, a midwife, you know, putting your career on trajectories that you might not anticipate now, but did you ever anticipate to experience an event such as this one? Like, was there training for these kind of scenarios?
No, I can't say that I ever anticipated that this would happen. But also, that's probably a bit ignorant of me, because what do they say? They say pandemics come around every couple hundred of years, but I just didn't really think it would happen in our life. Like, did you? Who thinks that?
No, it's about 2 years late if they come around every 100 years.
Yeah, exactly. But I think at the end of the day, like, you know that there's the potential of this, you know what you're going into. And I think that's why, I don't know, I feel like that's why we do this. Like, it's our opportunity to use our skills and help and step up. And I feel like, yeah, I don't know, like, even if I haven't met anyone in like the healthcare setting who have been like, oh, I can't believe this happened. I hate my job now. Like, it's just part of the job. Like, you just, I don't know. It's just, you expect these things. Like, there's always new diseases. There's always whatever. But yeah, didn't expect it, but also not super mad about it. Like, can't really do anything about it.
I've got to say, that's a, like what you just said there about health workers being taking it as they go and working and not being like, this makes my job absolutely shit now, is very commendable. About you just work with what you've got and you, and you're always there to help out. So I just want to jump in and say that's a very commendable thing to say as well. And it really shows the characteristics of healthcare workers in the healthcare sector as well.
I just feel like if you have any other mentality, like, man, it's just going to be such a long and sad career if you're like, I mean, like, there's no one to blame for this, and like, like, you just got to take it on the chin and go run with it. I think every hospital has like, what's it called? They have protocols for internal or external disasters, which is kind of, I guess you could call this an external disaster. But since it's happened and since we've been fortunate enough to have enough time up our sleeves to develop like protocols, like my hospital, for example, during in the first week of the first wave, they created like a 5-stage plan and started implementing it within a week, which is super impressive. But yeah, in studying, no, and I think that's just the nature of healthcare, is you don't know what is going to happen next. But yeah, like, there's no, you can't really plan for a pandemic.
In terms of the work in the environment, and I think we kind of touched on this before, how much more key has communication become in the workplace? Like, are there effective policies in place now to make sure that all departments are on the same page, or was it always like that? Or
Yeah. I think in order to have like a hospital that runs well, everyone needs to be on the same page with like all policies, all hospital wide. Anyone can access every single policy under the sun. And I think with this, again, at the start, it was very muddy waters. Everyone was like, what the hell's going on? But communication amongst colleagues, amongst different wards, so, so important. Like I said before, when you're in the PPE, I don't know if you've ever worn like a N95 mask before, but it makes it so, so hard to hear. And like, when it's just so muffled. So communication, you've just like, you pretty much just have to shout into it, really. So I'm trying to think, when from working in ED, if you're working in the COVID zone, a job that would typically take one nurse now technically takes two. So there's multiple nurses donned in the PPE in the hot zone, and they tend to the patient's care needs. They're at the bedside doing what have you. And then the other nurses are in like the clean zone that do all of the documentation, dispensing of meds and fluids and everything like that, and run and get anything else in the clean zone that the patients need. And so effective communication is so crucial with that, because the nurses in the hot zone sort of calling out the obs or like the appearance or initial presentation or impressions from the patients, while the other nurses on the other side are sort of transcribing, writing it all down, kind of like the role of like a stenographer in court. But then, yeah, like I said, like all the policies are enforced hospital-wide, and there's administration personnel who walk around all across all the floors to make sure that everyone's adhering to all the proper hygiene. And, yeah, and I guess just when we're taking patients from each ward, even though there's different specialties, like you just have to make sure that all your handovers are super concise and that everyone's on the same page. And even though there's been times where policies were changing and it was sort of a grey area, like it's just, it's hard. Like you can't, you've got to keep your cool, can't get frustrated. Everyone's sort of struggling and trying to figure out what the hell's going on. But yeah, we've all got it down to a T now. So it's all working well, but yeah, communication is very crucial.
In terms of yourselves and the healthcare workforce and nurses, have you seen a general impact of the pandemic on healthcare workers themselves? Like in your opinion, has there been like an effect on morale, or has it affected you personally at some stage?
There definitely has been. Oh, like everyone has good days, bad days. But like I said before, I feel like there's two ways that you can think of it. So you could be first frame of mind, this is hard, this is 12-hour shifts suck, they take their toll, increased chances of burning out, and then there's a fear in the back of mind that there's a chance that you could contract the virus. Or like I said before, you can take it on your stride, see it as an opportunity to upskill and see it as a way that you're giving back to your community. You're doing your bit to help during this pandemic. Oh, don't get me wrong. Like, it's not all sunshine and rainbows and everything. Like, you're constantly under the stupid gowns, you're constantly dripping sweat. You can get the pressure areas on your skin that make you look like you have a horrendous 10 marks from your sunglasses. I think that's what's helped boost morale is the fact that, like, you're there with all of your colleagues, everyone's sort of in it together. And unfortunately, you don't really know what it's like until you've worked with COVID patients. And I think that's what's gotten me through, the support from my colleagues, because everyone's kind of like, FML, this is our job now. We just have to do it to the best of our abilities and get through it. Like, it's hard not seeing your family, as anyone in Victoria can relate to right now. And it's so, so frustrating when you hear of people on the news doing the right thing when there's so many people who have sacrificed so much to do the right thing. For me, I feel like one of the hardest things has been like the stigma or affiliation with healthcare workers being like dirty. Like, I've had some mates or some people who are like apprehensive to like go on a walk with me or something, because they assume that just because I work at a hospital, like, I'm automatically going to give them the virus. Which, and the same as like if you're in the supermarket, and some of my colleagues and I were talking about it, if you quickly go in your scrubs, like, you can get little side eye from people being like, oh, she must be dirty, and you feel like a bit like a leper. But yeah. I don't know. At the end of the day, everyone's scared, so you can't really hold it against them. But yeah, I think if it wasn't for like the support of great friends, great family, and fantastic colleagues at work, yeah, that's just made everything so much easier.
Well, I've also just wanted to know, so during the early stages of the pandemic, there was an outpouring of gratitude for healthcare workers across the globe, like never before, and there still is now. So I just wanted to know, has that been effective in boosting morale among your colleagues and yourself?
Absolutely. So it was so, so nice to receive such a huge amount of support from all over Victoria. Even small businesses who were definitely struggling themselves, like restaurants or what have you, and they were dropping off meals and free coffees, and it was just so kind and definitely made us feel a lot more connected and unified with everyone, which in turn actually made us more passionate and even more driven to go to work, do our work to the best of our abilities, and to beat this virus. And I just really hope that 2020, if anything, has just sort of shed a light on professions and careers which have previously flown under the radar, like teachers and cleaners and people who operate public transport. And yeah, I definitely think that it boosted morale. And again, so, so appreciative of those people who supported us. It just made this saga so much easier to navigate and just gave us more of a drive to you know, do what we love. And it just made us realize that, you know, we're all in it together, and yeah, we're going
to
get through it.
So I just wanted to come onto the second wave in Victoria and how it's probably affected the workplace. Has it hit you harder? And there's obviously been a difference in hospitalization rates this time around, but I just want to know about the impact that it's had for you.
Yeah, look, the second wave has definitely hit our hospital system hard. However, we were ready. We've been waiting for this since March, and we're ready to put all of our training and all of the new education we've learnt surrounded COVID-19 into practice. However, in saying this, it's been scary. It's just sort of reiterated how serious and how deadly this virus is. And I think that one of the biggest things has taken us by surprise in this second wave is the amount of healthcare professionals who have contracted the virus and who have had to go off work sick. And it's not because of a lack of resources or breaching PPE regulations. We believe it's been more from the community transmission and asymptomatic carriers who have unknowingly brought COVID into the workplace. And it's seen so many workers off sick in isolation, as well as all of their close contacts. Mm. And I myself just got out of 2 weeks of hotel quarantine, which was interesting to say the least. But having so many people off work has seen a huge amount of sick leave that's need to be covered, which has led to changing the amount of hours we work. So now we've started 12-hour shifts, which are quite difficult. And it's also led us to desperately trying to recruit healthcare workers from interstate. Mm. However, I'm glad that the stage 4 that stage four restrictions had been implemented, because it's honestly eased the strain on the healthcare system already. As we've seen, the numbers drastically drop from 700 new cases a day to 200, which mean that there's less people contracting the virus who may need a hospital bed. So even though this has had devastating effects on our economy, stage four restrictions have absolutely been the best thing to have happened in regards to beating this virus in Victoria.
No, I'll definitely have to agree with you on that part. But I just wanted to look to the future a little bit, and I just want to see, has the pandemic changed your outlook of healthcare workers and how services are delivered? Or, like, could this pandemic have an impact on the working environment for years to come in Europe?
I don't think it's changed my outlook on healthcare workers per se. I'm biased and I've always thought that they're just the bee's knees. but unfortunately, I don't think this virus is going away anytime soon. And I think that masks, super strict hand hygiene, the PPE, it's just going to be part of our new norm within the work environment. However, if anything, I think this virus has just shown us how adaptable and resilient we all are, everyone in Victoria. I think it's just shown us that this virus, it's not going to beat us. We're going to overcome this and we're going to learn from it. And I think that it might even shape our future into a place with better hygiene, and hopefully we'll all be a bit more grateful for the things that we've previously taken for granted. And looking at any pandemic that's happened in the past, there's evidence that there's been a huge amount of learning opportunities and even positives that have come out of it. For example, flu vaccines, the entertainment industry has changed drastically. And I'm kind of excited to see what positives come out of this one and what the post-COVID world will be like. And it's going to be a little way off, but we're going to get there.
Well, I just wanted to kind of finish this discussion up about what your views of the Victorian government's policies surrounding COVID-19 are, and how specifically Dan Andrews and Brett Sutton have worked together and putting policies out there to help healthcare workers or help Victoria in general. And I just wanted to get your perspective on that.
I think from my point of view, if the government didn't enforce such strict rules, we would be in so much trouble right now. We've seen in America the effects of what COVID-19 can do on such a dense city. And although I don't completely agree with all of the decisions made and the way they've gone about specific decisions, personally, I think that perhaps when they decided to lock down the Housing Commission towers and the specific suburbs, they should have just locked down everyone. However, that's so much easier said than done. It's so easy for me to just sit here in my apartment and critique another person's decisions retrospectively. But at the end of the day, I think Dan Andrews has done such an amazing job. I'm obsessed with him and
same.
I think they've done a great job with an awfully shitty situation.
Yeah.
Oops, sorry for swearing.
Oh, that's all right. Yeah.
But the increase in mental health support as well, and the financial support that's available for individuals, is incredible. And in saying that, I encourage anyone who's listening to make use of these resources, as your mental health is so important, and it's been such a shitty year, and it's okay to be having more bad days than good. But just remember that you're not alone, and this is all going to pass. Sorry, I've totally drifted off track. But yes, I am glad that the government enforced these rules, because if they didn't, we'd be in a lot worse situation, I believe.
Well, thank you so much for coming on the podcast today, Amelia. It's just been great to have you, to have a sit down and have a discussion about, you know, what healthcare workers are doing in this turbulent time.
Thank you so much for having me, Jared. This has been fun. I've never really done anything like this before.
Oh, don't worry.
I was a bit nervous before all of this. it was so nice to catch up with you and see your face.
Likewise, Amelia. Thank you so much once again for coming on. It was fantastic. And thank you as a healthcare worker for all the hard effort that you and your team and all the healthcare professionals out there are doing. And I hope everyone listening today is staying safe and staying sane. And I hope that you subscribe and follow us on Instagram for the next couple of episodes that we've got coming out in the coming weeks. Thank you so much.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Bye, 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 bye.